First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all the latest replays of this show or any of our shows on the MVM Radio Network, as well as check in on the latest stories that we are covering or involved in. If you guys are new to the show, you can always call us at 858-683-1326 or at area code 502-805-0334. If you guys are in the listening queue, as always, please hit that number one on your dial pad so we know you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, there's also the live chat that is always available. You can sign in with the chat room right here at BTR by using your Facebook account or your Twitter account or some other accounts that you have. There's all kinds of options. And don't forget, when you visit our websites at LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join our email newsletter and our RSS feed. And all our shows and all our news will come right to your inbox. Yes, they will. In the meantime, we have a lot going on. Mr. Martin looks like he's going to be a couple of minutes late joining us. And that's nothing new on a Tuesday. He generally gets a little bit busy on Tuesdays. He runs this little business Barack Obama built for him. So he runs a little bit late on occasion on Tuesday night. So we just suffer through it. That's the way it is. I tell you, we're going to start with some Louisville news tonight, as always. And I tell you, it's really interesting. As we know, Representative Arnold, former representative, I should say, was accused of sexual harassment and all of these things. Former Democrat Kentucky Rep. John Arnold was accused of sexually harassing three different females. He resigned office last year, and the Ethics Commission, who was charged with charging him with something, basically punted it on Monday, or last week. Basically, the commission consists of a 9-member panel, and according to their own rules, they have to have a 5-member vote to convict anyone, any lawmaker that's charged with ethics violations. So what happens? You know, we covered a little bit of this last night, but what happened was only 5 members showed up at this hearing, this serious hearing, involving sexual harassment, involving a Kentucky Democrat state rep. 4 members miraculously decided that they just couldn't attend that day, so they left 5 people there. Of the five, the votes to convict John Arnold was 4-1. So by their own rules, he got off because one person would not convict him. His name was Elmer George. Allison Lundigan Grimes last year decided she wasn't going to take a stance on whether Representative Arnold should be removed from office or not, even though she's out campaigning to be our U.S. Senator, standing up for women's rights in the workplace. So we know where she really stands with women. And it was also interesting, too, that John Arnold had contributed $250 to Allison Lundigan Grimes' campaign, which she gladly accepted after he resigned from office because of these accusations. Elmer George, the one lone vote on the five of the five members that attended the hearing, was appointed in January by Greg Stumbo, the House Speaker, another Democrat. Elmer George has maxed out his contributions to Allison Lundigan Grimes in her efforts to do this, to run for office. And oh, by the way, Elmer George's son is a prominent figure who works in Allison Lundigan Grimes' campaign. Think it isn't a small world? Think again. But what's really interesting here, and what makes it a story today once again, is because yesterday, the Kentucky House, led by Greg Stumbo, voted to strengthen and diversify, whatever that means, the Legislative Ethics Commission, which was the ones who heard the case of Representative Arnold, and they hear the case of all lawmakers. However, Democrat House Speaker Greg Stumbo later tried to deny that there was a culture of sexist behavior in the House. He tried to say that this was all rigged by Republicans. He blamed Republicans because the Republicans want to win the control of the chamber of the House in the fall elections. So he's blaming Republicans that this has gotten so out of hand, saying that they are exaggerating the scope of the problem. Go to Kentucky.com for this story, folks. You know, this is something that I think is very disturbing, and this is something that is normal and a democratic way of life here in Kentucky with this democratic mafia. It's not just in Louisville. It's all the way up to the state level, everybody included. Greg Stumbo goes on record in saying that he thinks the Republicans are trying to make political hay out of something that just isn't there. Speaker Stumbo, we're not that dumb. We know that the culture exists, that the sexism and everything else exists in the House. We also know that racism exists in the House. We're not fooled by your rhetoric. What is shameful is the fact that this speaker thinks that he gets to blame Republicans once again for a Democrat problem and a habit. And this is a habit. Joni Jenkins, who I don't really care a lot for anyway, you know, had sponsored the amendment. The amendment was sponsored to strengthen these rules up. You know, and she flat out said that women have been treated disrespectfully at the legislature, because men dominate both chambers and most leadership posts. You know, and she said that they needed to be aware of what comments and behaviors are inappropriate. You know, and she said that when she first got there, she felt like she was having to play mom because she was telling the men, don't say this and don't do that all the time. Joni Jenkins has been in Frankfurt for quite a while, folks. So this isn't anything new. This is a pattern of repeated behavior. So House Speaker Democrat Greg Stumbo says we don't have this pattern of behavior, yet we have new charges just made out against Democrat Representative Jim Gooch, who decided for fun at a dining table at a restaurant in the Southern Legislative Conference last year in Mobile, Alabama, decided to throw a pair of women's panties onto a dining room table. Allegedly. Let's use that word, allegedly. But I have no problem using the word allegedly because I really don't think it's necessary. Because Gooch didn't deny the allegations. He was interviewed with Kentucky Public Radio and did not deny the allegations. and basically tried to play it off like it was just a joke and everybody laughed about it. Well, of course everybody's going to laugh about it. They don't want to look like they're offended. You know, you're in a public area. You're with your colleagues, your peers, if you will. You know, of course if you're at that table, you're going to laugh about it. You're not going to take on a state rep at a table. Are you kidding me? But lo and behold, this dinner was with female LRC staffers present, two of which were the same people who brought the charges against Representative John Arnold. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Representative Jim Gooch, but believe me, he's no God's gift to women, okay? You know, it's very interesting. But Gooch goes on to basically say that some lady who he didn't know in this restaurant at all, didn't solicit her at all, was obviously very drunk and slipped these panties into his pocket. Said he was taken back by it. And then he says he pulled them out at the table and says, "You're not going to believe what happened." And I showed it to him. But it was because I was just trying to make the point that I can't believe this happened. Are you kidding me? This is what makes these Democrats look so damn foolish. Are we the people that stupid? And oh, by the way, the two women, Cassandra Cooper and Yolanda Kosner, are two that made these charges against Representative Jim Gooch. They're also two of the three women who made the charges against Representative John Arnold. You know, and they continue to point out the obvious, that Gooch has made sexual innuendos towards at least Cooper over a period of several years. Over a period of several years. She went on to say that he made a point to tell people that she worked with, every time he went talk to them, "Be sure to tell Cassandra I've tasted her flavors." Now he tries to say it's because she keeps jelly beans in her office. Maybe, maybe not. But is that really the smartest thing to do or to say in the 21st century? We've got a link to the WFPL story in the chat room now for you folks. This is the situation that we continually run into. Do we expect the Legislative Ethics Commission to do their job? We just found out with Representative John Arnold they won't. So nothing's going to be done to Jim Gooch, who I would argue has more power than John Arnold did. Do we expect there to be backlash against the accusers? Most definitely. Most definitely. Do we think that the culture in Frankfurt is going to change at all based on all of the things that continue to come out? No. Because Democrat House Speaker Greg Stumbo and the Democrats involved in these things are also involved in the cover-up. They believe in the old theory that if you deny, 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 then eventually that will take hold, so the problem never existed. That's where we have a problem. That's where we have a problem. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a Democratic mafia at work in Kentucky at every level. Why we continue to elect these fools and why we continue to allow this kind of stuff is beyond me. But we the people have the choices. So what's it worth to you when you go vote? What is it worth to you to elect somebody that, in my opinion, is scum? Because they go through and spend a couple of bucks in the neighborhood trying to buy your vote, so they're a great person? Think about all the people in this state who continue doing this. Look at Bob Tried, way back when. Think about the party that has the power, that has had the power in Kentucky forever. And every time a situation comes up that's illegal, immoral, or unethical, it seemingly involves a Democrat. In a lot of cases, long-standing Democrats, guys who should know better. But it doesn't change, does it? It doesn't change. Here's another good example. In Frankfurt yesterday, the House Democrats and Senate Republicans reached an impasse on a two-year road-building plan for Kentucky. Here's a big shock for you guys. Because they didn't come to an agreement on this, and they only had until today to do so, and I have not got the latest hourly report on it yet. But because they didn't come to an agreement, we're probably going to need a special session again this year that's going to cost us taxpayers $65,000 a day that they're in session. The House leaders, led by Democrat Greg Stumbo, decided to stand by all of the vetoes that were made on Friday by Governor Steve Beshear. Their session is supposed to close at midnight tonight. Like I said, we don't have the latest hourly report to see if anything's changed on the road plan, but probably not. And here we go. Each side, of course, is blaming the other for the problems. Greg Stumbo, Democrat, is continuing to say it's a Republican's fault, of course. You know, it's fascinating because Stumbo tried to blame this on the Republicans leaving early yesterday. That the Republicans, you know, had went out, and they did. They had a dinner last night for the Republican Senate members who are retiring. Who are retiring. Now, remember, these guys come in from all over the state, so it's really going to kill you to spend a couple hours at dinner honoring people who have served, right? So they took an extended dinner break last night for that, and Greg Stumbo says that's why there was no deal reached. There was no deal reached. Because the Republicans had a nice dinner at the country club, but the people's business really ought to come first. Can you believe that? They've been in session for all this time, and because the Republican Senate took an extended dinner break. An extended dinner break. That means they didn't stop working. They just took a long dinner. All right. To honor retiring members. That's why they don't have a road plan. So it's their fault. I can assure you, Greg Stumbo has spent more time not doing his job in Frankfurt and being away from the chamber than you can shake a stick at. But see, here's the thing. We already have a road plan. The Senate road plan calls for spending about $3.67 billion on projects for the next 2 years. The House plan, of course, is going to be higher. They want to spend $3.92 billion over the next 2 years. So, you know, this is what's going to happen. They're going to reconvene today, which they have, and they're going to offer what's called a continuation plan. Stumbo says the Senate is going to do this, and I actually think he's right. And essentially, what a continuation plan does, it continues funding for the transportation projects that are already scheduled. Now, Greg Stumbo will use his power and say no. The House will reject the continuation plan based on Democrat Greg Stumbo, rejecting it. Democrat Greg Stumbo will go to Governor Steve Beshear and ask him to convene a special session so they can talk about these road plans. That's $65,000 a day, folks. Who's responsible? Thank your local Democrat. You know, this is what it's like. This is what you deal with every day. You know, and Senate President Robert Stivers went on record last night at 9 o'clock and said that he still believes they can compromise on a road plan today. You know, they're still hopeful for it. you know, he's working on it. And he also said that they could continue the current road plan. And, you know, they can update it next year when they come back in January for the short session. He doesn't believe there's any need for a special session. So your Senate Republican leader is telling you we don't need a special session. Greg Stumbo is saying, hey, we're a couple million dollars apart. Let's go ahead and get a special session and charge the taxpayers more. Because Republicans took an hour longer on a dinner in one night. I'm telling you, this is nuts. So we're going to have a lot of things looking forward to for the rest of the night tonight. We'll update you guys on tomorrow night, I'm sure. You know, and we'll find out what else is going on with whatever they may or may not have done today. There is one story about that, though, that is kind of interesting. Senate Bill 200, both chambers actually approved that yesterday. But what Senate Bill 200 does, if Governor Scheer allows it to become law, and I'm sure he will, you know, it is basically designed to keep fewer Kentucky children out of jail. Essentially, you know, Kentucky children who are missing a lot of school, running away from home, those kind of things, they go into juvenile hall and they go to jail. The Senate gave final passage, sponsored by Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield yesterday on 30-8 vote, and the House followed suit and allegedly confirmed it. Here's the deal. What this bill is going to do is actually going to encourage community-based alternatives, if you will, for kids that are younger than 18 who are charged with what's known as status offenses. Okay? And these status offenses, judges now are forced to sentence these nonviolent offender children to detention centers. So they're put in here with guys, with these other kids who have committed serious crimes, you know, rape, robbery, killing, whatever. All right? So what this is going to do, it's going to keep these kids out of jail instead of putting them together with more kids who have a lot of more serious crimes and make more criminals on paper. But it's also going to require increased data collection on the juveniles and a state system to track the juvenile recidivism rates. I personally believe at this point in the stage of the game that we can't continue looking at these juveniles and these lawbreakers as simply juveniles. These ones that are in juvenile detention centers, the only reason they're not in prison is because they're not 18. I think it's time to open their records up. I really do. I think it's time to open their records up. Why do we continue protecting the records of these children and they continue going on, getting smarter in jail, learning how to do more crime, and do the things that they do? Why do we continue allowing this? We need to open our records up and have them accountable to the community. Why not? Why not? If we're going to hold the community responsible for their well-being, we're going to hold the entire community responsible for looking after them and paying to make sure everything's okay, why would we not? Is it time we start doing that? I think so. So there's going to be some interesting things and some more interesting updates tomorrow night on all of that. But we'll get into that in a minute. One more quick story before we go on to our break. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, we've got all the election stuff back today. You can find this in the Courier-Journal if you want. But McConnell raised $2.4 million during the first 3 months of this year in the first quarter. His Senate challenger in the GOP primary, Matt Bevin, raised about $1.1 million. That's the best quarter that Bevin has had since he started running his Senate campaign. And this is actually the best quarter that Mitch McConnell has had since he started this new campaign. Mitch McConnell has about $22.3 million. Matt Bevin's nowhere near it. Allison Lundinger Grimes, of course, has not released her first quarter fundraising figures. Imagine that. So that's kind of interesting as well. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about minimum wage and then move into some national stuff. You know, I'll tell you what, before we go to break, I want to grab this call. This is our good friend Paul Hogger. Stop it. And I'm not sure you're going to have time to wade through. How are you, Paul?
Greetings. Stop it. Stop invisible taxes. Hey, listen.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do something new once this session is officially closed. We're going to go and review the bills that became law and give a report to you. It'll probably take 3 or 4 weeks to get this compiled. But a quick review of the bills that became law was conducted by me last night. And it is it's astonishing at the number of bills that contain either new taxes mm-hmm. that do not necessarily apply to that are not universal necessarily, but they definitely apply to certain segments of Kentucky, and also the most insidious technique that the state legislature uses, and that is what we call is tax shifting. Mm-hmm. You're shifting the tax burden from one particular group onto the backs of everyone else. In particular, I don't remember the bill number, but I noticed that those entities in Kentucky, which are an official charity, if you will, or tax-exempt group, got another tax break passed by this legislature. Now, if they're already tax-exempt, why do we need to do another tax break? I don't understand the reasoning on that, but apparently this legislature believed it was necessary. Now, just a reminder. Just because an entity is considered to be tax-exempt or an official charity, does right. that mean that these entities do not receive taxpayer-funded government services? No. No.
You're absolutely right.
They receive police, fire, EMS, public works, roads, everything that the taxpayers have to kick in money for to maintain these tax-exempt organizations get the full benefit without contributing.
You act like you sound like you're surprised by that.
No, I'm annoyed.
Hey, that was actually tongue-in-cheek. Go ahead.
And the government, the people in charge of government, keep complaining and moaning and groaning about the declining tax base and how the tax revenues are declining and how the current economy is responsible. Now, the current economy may be partly responsible, but their government policy and legislative policy is just as responsible. Every time they pass a law that removes the requirement that these charities and tax-exempt organizations don't have to take care of common services provided by government, then they're contributing to the problem and they're shifting. They're shifting the burden onto everyone else who pays taxes. The good
right.
news is, we had a little party with the British mm-hmm. more than a couple hundred years ago when the British decided that they were going to shift taxes onto the backs of people at the expense of others. The good news is at some point this burden will become too onerous for the bulk of Americans to put up with any longer, and they will draw the line. And I'm hopeful because this week in Nevada, you reported last night on a story where the citizens drew the line and told the government, enough's enough, back off, and the government backed off. So I like that, but in Nevada, and I think it is a harbinger of more things to come.
Well, I tell you, stick around after the break because we're going to get to that story as well because there's also a lot more to that than meets the eye, including a new thing in New Mexico. And we're going to talk about that one after the break. But you're absolutely right on these tax cuts. I'm getting sick of all this stuff. You are listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CREW. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Oh, yeah. And we are back, folks. Welcome back. Remember, the call-in number is 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, as always, hit the number one on your dial pad. We appreciate it. Paul, looks like Paul had a drop off. I know he was out on the road, so I don't know if he had a bad spot or what. But lo and behold, our mystery man is here. How are you, sir?
Hey, tag team radio, man.
I think that's what it was. You guys were on a call, and Paul said, okay, tag, you're it. Ed Martin is joining us. Folks, running a little bit late. You know, as we talk about many times, he has this business that Barack Obama built for him that he has to take care of. So he's here now.
Yeah.
You know, going into the break, we were talking about all these local issues and the Legislative Ethics Commission and all these other things. And then we brought Paul on, and we were starting to talk about, you know, how these tax-exempt organizations just received tax cuts from the Kentucky State Legislature in this session, which is mind-boggling. But for me, you know, there are so many more things that are more important. You know, I don't understand how a tax-exempt place can get a tax cut in the first place. That is beyond me. If you're not paying taxes, you have nothing to cut. What do you think about that, Ed? I mean, does that make any sense to you why they would do something like that?
It's inconceivable to me. I mean, unless somehow they're getting to expense more stuff, that, yeah, because a lot of times you can be a nonprofit. All depends on how you expense stuff and who gets paid what. Maybe they raise the ceiling for, you know, compensation or something. Any number of ways they could do it, but I try like hell not to run a tax, you know, a nonprofit myself. So.
Right. Well, I tell you, it's very interesting for me because, you know, I spend a lot of time working on behalf of charitable gaming. And, you know, these guys are getting shafted in every which way you can possibly imagine when it comes to the tax-exempt status and the levels at which they're held accountable. You know, so it's interesting to me when I hear things like that, because charitable gamers, you know, your bingos, things like that, you know, your churches, you know, a lot of those folks are being put out of business because of the way that they're structured. So I haven't looked at everything in that plan yet. I hope to later tonight and have an update for tomorrow. But it is very interesting to me to see how all that works, and I'm just fascinated by it, that tax-exempt are getting tax cuts. You know, if you're already tax-exempt, you've already received a tax cut that I certainly can't get, and it's just kind of puzzling. But I tell you, I want to get on to some other news if we can. Of course, one of the big stories in the news for the last week has been Clark County, Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. As we all know, it's no secret, the federal agents came in and tried to take over his ranch, tried to say that first they were trying to save a turtle, you know, which they weren't trying to save because they had already announced a few months ago they were going to kill the turtles, so that was a lie. Then they tried to say that he wasn't paying grazing fees on land. That turned out he was paying grazing fees for a while, but then there was a situation he didn't agree with on where the fees were going, so he'd been fighting that. You know, so they decided to come in, try to take his ranch, run him off of this so-called federal land that his cattle has been in his family grazing land since the 1800s. America stood up. America stood up. All of a sudden you had patriots and militiamen and everything else showing up at the Bundy Ranch. So on Saturday, on Saturday, lo and behold, the feds backed off. They said, whoa, wait a minute. We got to get out of here because we can't guarantee we're safe. So the Bureau of Land Management pulled everything back. You had the governor of Nevada. You had sheriffs across the country. Everybody standing up on behalf of Cliven Bundy. The media was killing them. They could not do what they wanted to do in secret or silence because the American people stood up and used the digital age with your cell phone cameras and video and everything else. So everything was being recorded. So everybody thinks that this was a big win. Everybody believes this was a big win for freedom in America because the people stood up against the federal government.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's not, because here's a couple of things we know now. Harry Reid went on record just yesterday saying that the Bundy Ranch situation is not over, that people who choose to disobey the law... Exactly. The people who choose to disobey the law cannot get away with this, and that they have to be, you know, I guess pay their penance, for lack of a better word. So we know it's not over. We also know that Senator Harry Reid and his son want this land because his son is going to make mega bucks off of this, of which Harry Reid will benefit, because his son is doing work on behalf of a Chinese firm, ENN Energy Group. Everybody thinks this is about solar panels. Guess what? It's not. They have found oil and gas reserves on this federal land. This isn't about solar panels. Once again, it's about oil. But that's not even the story. Here's your story, folks. They pulled off of Cliven Bundy's ranch on Saturday, saying that they couldn't guarantee the safety of their agents and the people on the ground. But they didn't pull off far. No. Farmer Kit Laney answered his door Saturday morning from the Bureau of Land Management. Law enforcement officers were there from the U.S. Forest Service and gave him a piece of paper that said that his Diamond Bar Ranch in southwest New Mexico would be shut down and his 300 head of cattle would be removed one way or the other. The Cliven Bundy approach. Cliven, whichever way you want to pronounce it. So Kit Laney is the next victim of this overreaching power grab by the administration. He has been running through the same similar thing that Cliven Bundy has been running through since 1997. They're trying to claim that his cattle are trespassing on federal land. The land belongs to Kit Laney, has belonged to his family since the 1800s, but the feds took it and say that it's their land. He has no rights to let his cattle graze there, even though they've been grazing there for over 100 years. So nothing has changed, has it, Ed? We've just changed the player and changed the location. But this story isn't getting all the national attention yet. Your thoughts?
Well, if it blows up, it will. But like I say, I've read some, of course, I've read some about the Harry Reid and the solar plant. I've read some about, you know, other issues. Right now, the only one that I've seen that kind of holds water is Reid and his son and the solar panel making plant or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the others, the others don't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, there's no need to get the, to be honest, there's no need for them to knock cattle off of grazing land if they want to frack. It doesn't make any sense. You know, they can frack right there, scare the crap out of the cows.
Right.
But, you know, that's one of the big issues with fracking. They say, oh, it runs livestock water and stuff. Well, obviously they can do it around livestock. So that, I don't know about that. The Harry Reid thing, and again, we're not going to know for a while, but it's definitely getting exposure. And it's, to me, pardon the pun, but, you know, we're dealing with cattle, the layers of bullshit that are coming out one way or the other, you know, on
right.
both sides is phenomenal. And it's going to take a while to get work through it. One thing that strikes me is, you know, sometimes I bemoan the fact that we get into the lowest common denominator.
Right.
So we've got Bureau of Land Management, you know, the government. Do you trust them? You know, some people say, oh, well, the courts and the Bureau say they have these legal standing. It's like, well, yeah, it wouldn't be the first time the government threw somebody off their land saying they have legal standing, you know, like the Indians. But, so, you know, the government, definitely an easy bad guy. But let's be honest about this Clive and Bundy fellow. For 20-plus years, he signs a deal with the government to pay for raising, you know, his cattle, which, you know, there's a price on that. Then he decides he doesn't like it, so he says, well, piss off, I'm not going to pay you. I'm still going to graze my cattle, and I'm not going to pay you for 20 years. I mean, where is that's not, to be honest, in the world of business, and cattle ranching is a business, he's totally screwing his competitors is what he's doing. He's basically saying, look, I'm going to, it'd be like me if I had a warehouse in a district, you know, I was competing with other people in the area, and I just said, well, I'm not going to pay my rent. My profits are going to look a whole lot better than yours. And then somebody comes and says, hey, well, you're not paying your rent, time to get out. And I said, no, I'm not, you know, and it goes on for 20 years of not paying your bills, you know. So he's basically stealing use of the land, whereas another rancher might say, hey, kick his dumb ass off the land, I'll pay for it, where Bundy won't.
Right.
So, you know, it's a slap in the face for the honest ranchers who are paying the fees to graze their land, graze on federal land. And you got this guy saying, no, I ain't gonna do it. I'm just gonna pocket the additional profits because I'm stealing feed. So we've got really a mess of characters here. And I'm interested to see how it comes out. I mean, it's definitely the conspiracy theorists and the people screaming are doing it from both angles. So
right. We'll
get to the bottom of it sooner or later. I just wish it was an honest victim, you know, a guy who could show you canceled checks for the last 20 years that he'd been paying, and now they're running me off the land that, you know, I have a contract on. But that's not the case. We've got a guy who's voided a contract that says, I'm still going to graze my cattle there, and I'm just going to take it.
Well, you know, it becomes interesting, and I can see your point in all of this. I really can. But at the same time, you know, we have to look at this and play. I mean, this is a guy who owned this land, or his family's owned this land, since the 1800s. The federal government comes in the late 1900s and says, hey, we're taking your land. We own it now. You're going to pay us to let your cattle eat grass so that we don't have to cut it. I mean, that's essentially the basic, most basic way of looking at this. He has a charge of government for making sure the land was upkept. Now, this is simply for me, seriously, I mean, for me, this is so much more than any of that. This has to do with federal power, federal land grab, to satisfy powerful politicians like Harry Reid. This is all this is.
Oh, yeah.
They lied about the tortoise. The government lied about the tortoises. Then they got caught lying about the solar panels. Now they want to go in and destroy this land that they say has to be preserved because it's federal land to do fracking for oil. That's going to make Harry Reid and his family richer. To me, that, you know, for the argument about, you know, well, he hasn't paid grazing fees, you know, initially he did start paying grazing fees, and the reason he stopped was because they were not putting the money where they said it was going. None of the money was going to Nevada like it was supposed to. That's what he thought he was agreeing to, and that's where the problem started. So it wasn't that he wasn't wanting to pay grazing fees. He had initially done that, as I understand it. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But as I understand it, he initially was paying grazing fees, but he stopped paying grazing fees because his agreement was based on a lie. You know, so
yeah.
Why would you continue
but then again,
that? You know,
so if you're getting a good or a service for a fee, and you have a problem with where the money's going to, that doesn't give you a free pass on not paying for the goods and services that you are getting. Now, you can work that out down the road, but I mean, let's be honest. If I'm buying something from somebody in the business world, and I take offense at the fact that they drive a really nice foreign-made Mercedes-Benz, you know, and I could look at it and say, well, I think your employees ought to get paid more before you drive around in a $70,000 car. You know, that doesn't give me the right to not pay them.
Well, I can meet you halfway with the argument, but from the bigger picture here, for me, it just seems to me, and you know, and I stand by it, that this is just an overreach land grab, trying to make some insider money. I mean, when you talk about the lies the federal government has done,
I don't doubt that for a second.
Well, if we're going to sit here,
I don't doubt it for a second. I just wish, you know, that as our protagonist, I wish we had somebody who was not quite as, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, somebody that's not as questionable as this guy who's been feeding his, you know, if it'd been somebody who's been paying all along, somebody who's been running a really clean operation. Well, that's right. This guy's been feeding his, he's been grazing his cattle for nothing.
But see,
you know,
I mean,
I tell you
here,
what, you come out my farm, offload a couple cows, and just look at me and say, "Hey, deal with it. I ain't paying you. I'm gonna blow your cows out. I'm gonna blow their legs out from underneath them, and I'm gonna eat steak for 2 years."
But see, if you sign a contractual agreement to pay these grazing fees, and the contractual agreement is fraudulent, then that contract is null and void. It's that simple. I mean, that's basic contract law. It's a fraudulent contract, so it can't be enforced. That's what the argument has been over the grazing fees.
Yeah, but
now,
but
when you look at that,
the courts have to say that the contract is null and void. You don't
and
get to just stand up and say, "No, I'm on to you. I know what you're doing with the money. I ain't paying it no more."
Well, I mean, he could be putting the money in an escrow for all we know. Nobody's ever asked him that question, waiting for the courts to decide. But what really becomes fascinating is that the BLM decided they were going to go ahead, you know, on behalf of Senator Harry Reid and CNN Energy Group, they decided they were going to go ahead and take this route. And the first thing that they put out there was, well, he's behind on his grazing fees. The second thing that they put out there was, this land is essential to save these tortoises, all right, which was a total lie. So if the federal government is lying, and now they've lied a second time because now they said it was for solar panels, which turned out to be another lie. It's really for fracking, and fracking is controversial and divisive in this country. So they had to lie twice. So I guess my situation is this. We can look at Cliven Bundy and his situation and say, well, he wasn't paying grazing fees and they're entitled to it. But if the government found it necessary to continue lie after lie to try to justify their position, then maybe Cliven Bundy wasn't wrong. Now, I don't know if Bundy's lying or not. I really don't.
Well, it's entirely possible that they're both wrong because only recently, I mean, he's not been paying his grazing fees for 20 years.
Since 1993.
I mean, you know, you stop making your house payments for 20 years, you're gone.
Right. Okay. I agree with you there. But it seems to me that, you know, he may have justification for not paying those grazing fees. And, again, we don't know. He could be sitting those in escrow, so once all this settles, he just writes one big check and they get their money and do whatever they're going to do. I don't know. But it's also interesting to me that the same day that the federal government got caught with their daggone pants down around their legs and had to leave his ranch because they were scared of all the publicity that it generated, that, you know, on the backside of that, they just moved from his location to a new location doing the same exact game, the same exact way, for the same exact reason, all right, to Kit Laney in New Mexico. That's the thing. This appears to be a systemic situation, and that's what I'm looking at, and that's quite honestly I'm really concerned with because, you know, so what we've got is Cliven Bundy. It's off the hook for now. They're going to raid his home. There's no doubt about that in my mind. They're going to raid his home. They're going to go into his home. They're going to raid his home. They're going to do whatever they can do. So there's no doubt in my mind that's going to happen. But as you research more into this story, Ed, we also look at a different story that was from March the 4th of 2010. It's from the Pulse of Colorado Farm Bureau, and I'm going to post that in the chat room right now for you guys to look at that are there, and it should be there when you come in a minute if you come in later. But it's there now. But this is an article from 2010. Senator Jim DeMint wrote to the Washington Post that day because he became alarmed about a planned 10-million-acre western land grab by the Obama administration. Senator Jim DeMint had found a secret administration memo that revealed plans for the federal government to seize more than 10 million acres from Montana, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado. You know, there's 11 different states involved here. And it's very fascinating because Kit Laney's land, is on that list where his land is at, and so is Cliven Bundy's. So what I'm looking at now, if you want to go down the road of conspiracy theory, is here we've got a prominent senator in Jim DeMint who obtained this secret email that outlined the plan to take 10 million acres and use it for this situation. And it took them 4 years to complete the deal and figure they had enough room to do it. Does that change the way you look at this story?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I say, I don't doubt for a second that the federal government, you know, let's face it, they're more than capable of lying to us, whether it's about weapons of mass destruction or whether it's about blood for oil or whether it's about, you know, Assad used chemical weapons and it wasn't the rebels or, our government is capable of feeding us a line of crap all the way through. So, like I say, I don't doubt for a second that the government is playing a dirty hand, and they're playing it very heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. But again, like I say, I think sometimes they seek opportunity too. Was Cliven Bundy an easy target? Yeah, because he wasn't paying his grazing fees. You know, don't give them any justification. Now, this other individual, we'll get more on that story. But,
right.
You know, it's just like, hey, you know, if you, guess what, the feds are, you're going to lock you up, you're going to call it a conspiracy because you don't file your taxes. Yeah, okay, well, if you're going to be some kind of rebel, pay your taxes. Don't give them an excuse. So, I mean, Bundy kind of gave him an excuse. I wish it was somebody with a little cleaner, you know, it kept his nose a little cleaner and his checkbook updated a little better. But, yeah, it is what it is, and it's out there, which is a great thing. Thank you, Al Gore, for the Internet. And we'll find out where it's all going. You know, and it's interesting. Like this other guy, he's got to be relieved if the BLM guys show up in his house and they're doing him dirty. He's got to be thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just one blogger away from having the militias back me up, too.
Well, I'm hoping they do.
Over and over and over, in being in business, I know there are ways to collect your money that don't involve guns. I mean, you have preferential payment rules. You have the ability to place liens on people. And, you know, he's got to sell his cattle somewhere. So there are business transactions up and down. You can go, you know, at or around the people that he's transacting with, and you can get court orders to say, oh no, Joe, I'm sorry, sir, like a garnishment, like, no, you don't pay Cliven Bundy for the cattle delivered, you pay us, you know.
Well, and, see, and that's exactly it.
So why they why they felt the need to go in with sidearms and bulletproof vests and dogs and helicopters, I have no idea. Because,
and don't forget,
you know, the IRS has no problem garnishing your money.
Well, they also went in with bulldozers and everything else. There are reports that they were using the bulldozers to dig mass deep graves to bury the cattle that they were slaughtering, that they were taking from this guy. You know, instead of moving the cattle, they were slaughtering them. Now, there is one difference between Kit Laney in New Mexico and Cliven Bundy. In New Mexico, there's something called a brand law. And basically, essentially what that means is no cattle can be sold or transported. No cattle can be sold or transported out of state without approval from the state livestock board. And you guys can go to AmericansFreedomFighters.com for this one. Local sheriff there in New Mexico, Cliff Snyder, notified the Forest Service and the other state and federal officials, I'm sure that includes the BLM, that even though the Forest Service has a court order authorizing the confiscation of the cattle from this ranch, they can't be shipped and they can't be sold without being in direct violation of New Mexico statute. So what are they going to do with confiscated cattle? If it can't be shipped and it can't be sold, they can't move it. So that's interesting, too. That's going to make an interesting contest with the Kit Laney situation, and I hope it gets the national attention. Ed, man, you know, we got 5 minutes left. We are running short on time, and I know it's a short session for you, but let's get some final thoughts in, my friend.
Well, you know, final thoughts. I'm always one that you know, I'll complain about the lowest common denominators. And I'm there with this Bundy thing. I'm very interested in seeing where it goes, you know, because the more that comes out, it both aggravates you and kind of makes you laugh, too. But, you know, I think to me the biggest thing is, and like I said, haven't been in business long enough, there are usually legal remedies. There are, you know, especially when you're the government, and you kind of control the legal remedies and you wrote the legal remedies so you know how they work. Hey, there are legal remedies. And I don't understand if a guy is transacting and doing business. I can understand if you got some homeless guy living, you know, some guy living off the land, squatting on public land, no income, no, not doing business in any way, shape, or form. That's kind of that's a sticky situation. But this guy is selling, he has to be selling cattle. He's raising cattle. He's selling cattle. He's dealing in U.S. dollars. He's dealing with the FDA. He's dealing with, you know, no doubt ranchers associations. He's dealing with state regulators. He's dealing with all sorts of people up and down the line to the Interstate Commerce Commission if they ship in these cattle east, you know, the meat. He's dealing with a lot of people. Why the government felt the need to go in with choppers and bulldozers and you know, just basically go in like they're trying to start a war with this guy when they simply could have attached liens to some of the transactions and put pressure on the people that he was transacting with. That's what disturbs me. It's like, my God, I can't believe that fellow American citizens would be so, you know, as in some of these, whether they were, you know, operatives for a private contractor or whether they were, you know, law officials or military or just government employees of some sort, why they're so eager to lock and load and go in on a, you know, some 60-something-year-old man or whatever, you know, does kind of make you snicker when they're so eager to lock and load on one household, and all of a sudden a bunch of dudes take up positions on the high ground. They're not interested in locking and loading anymore. So that's what bothers me, is that somewhere along the line things got real uncivil, and that, you know, fellow Americans are drawing a bead on other Americans when there are other ways of dealing with this, more mature ways of dealing with this, rather than shaking your testicle at somebody wanting a fight.
Well, and I totally agree with you. You know, it's interesting you talk about fellow American citizens. I'll be honest with you. I'm to the point anymore, and this is going to sound really cold and cruel, I guess, or sound un-American, if you will, but I'm to the point anymore where I'm not sure that I consider politicians American citizens. I'm not sure that I consider this Gestapo that we call our local police forces and everything else American citizens anymore, because these sheep are following their orders, and those orders are contrary to our Constitution and our way of life. So are these fellow American citizens? I don't know. I don't know what you would classify them as anymore. I do know this, that you put out a lot of information right there in your statement that's very true. There were so many options to shut Cliven Bundy down from a legal perspective, as far as leaning his cattle, going to his suppliers, going to the you know, the meat markets where he sells his cattle, wherever, and tell these folks, you do business with him, we're going to audit you. Nobody wants that, you know, and they're going to sit there and they're going to play ball. There were legal avenues available that were not used. To me, I think that the federal government knew that this was going to get media attention. There's not one thing that goes by that don't get some media attention somewhere. They didn't expect mainstream media attention because they just figured it was all going to be online, the internet guys, the bloggers, the people like us, and it wasn't going to be a factor. So they knew there would be some attention, and what they wanted to do was send a message that we're the federal government, we can do whatever we want to do. What they underestimated was the backlash from the real American citizens and the people who really believe in the Constitution and defending the rights thereof. They underestimated that backlash, and that, of course, forced mainstream media to say, well, we better do something about this. So, you know, I think that's the big deal. I think this was an intentional way to send a message to we the people that Big Brother can do anything they want to do by this administration and the Democratic mafia in this country. That's just the way it is. So when it comes to calling anyone your fellow American citizens, you know, that's kind of a term that I'm starting to put more and more in reserve when it comes to leadership. And that's probably the saddest state of America today that I can think of. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, Mr. Martin, you'll be back on Monday, of course.
Yep.
So we'll see you at 7 o'clock Monday or 7:30.
God willing, in the helicopters and bulldozers don't show up at my house.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I expect them at mine any day, but you know that's the way it is. Well, we'll see you on Monday as usual. Tomorrow night, folks, 7 o'clock right here with Dale the Truth. I'm sure we'll get into more of this Cliff and Bundy and Kit Laney stories, and what's really going on with the federal land grabs and the Bureau of Land Management. I'm sure we're going to talk about that tomorrow night, and we're going to talk about the replacement of Kathleen Sebelius as well. I think you're going to find a lot of things very interesting along that front. Until then, you have a great night. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Ed, we'll talk to you later.
You have a good one too, Mr. Springsteen.
You too, sir. Thank you.